Alrighty, let's rock this thing. 3, 2, 1. Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, April the 24th, 123rd day.
Gee, I wouldn't have noticed if you made a mistake, actually.
A big deal. Yeah, well, that's all right. Some people do.
But I will put that on a little track of that.
A little noty pad on there. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor Virginia Bass.
Good to be here.
Is it?
So far.
Good, good. The opening minute has been just delightful, and we'll see how many of those we can put in order when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass, but before we do, our quote this afternoon. Well, there's a Maggie Thatcher. Would that work?
That seems appropriate.
Yeah.
She's no longer here. Well, she hasn't been on your show in the past.
But she was a leader, and she was a lady.
Well, those would be accurate,
so you can make some connections there if you wish. Quote, I'll stay until I'm tired of it. So long as Britain needs me, I shall never be tired of it.
I think that's perfect.
That works. Yeah.
You know, sometimes you amaze me.
Come up for just a brief moment of normalcy and dive right back down into the mire.
Ready.
What are some of the different challenges that you run into? I had an interesting discussion this weekend with a fellow who was in one of the branches of the armed forces, and he said he never really realized how difficult it still is for females in the military until he saw firsthand some of the things. Do you run into anything akin to that in the political arena?
Well, I think I've been really fortunate, but yes, I do. And I had a fairly recent situation actually with not one of our local electeds, but somebody else from another community that was here. And I'd never run into the situation where it was plainly obvious that women in elected position, or probably in any type of power, I hate to use that word, but he did not have much trust or respect for. And it was interesting because I generally am pretty easygoing for the most part. And that was the first time I actually, after 12 years, you know, that I ever actually had that realization. And there are some people that, you know, they feel that they're going to get a better or faster or stronger, you know, result by going to, you know, a guy. But at the same time, you know, you could be said sometimes they'll might look for a female elected because they think, well, I need to have something that's a little more nurturing. And, you know, but most people, I think most people treat us all the same, and I'm really fortunate, but I can see it can happen.
How about being a local?
Is it good or bad?
Well,
or?
You know, during the campaign, I could think it would be an immeasurable benefit because of recognition and folks remember or know. But when it comes to now making some of the decisions and having certain people share information fully and forthcoming, do you see that that plays out a little different?
You know, probably for the good and the bad. I think sometimes we get people are more comfortable because they do know us from one way or the other, from, you know, the sports our kids have been in, the restaurant, and so they're very comfortable in sharing their thoughts. At the same time, when it comes to decision time, we can't always make the decision that's going to make everybody happy. In fact, I don't think we can ever... I'm certain we can't make everybody happy. Let me just say that. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword because people feel that because they know you, you should or would feel the same way. And, you know, it's they feel somewhat slighted perhaps if you don't. So it's a good and bad, but I think overall I like being, having grown up in this community and having the connection with people.
Of the area.
Yes.
I've not asked Rex that, but... Because now the supervisors, you've got three locals, natives, whatever you want to call it, you know, homegrowns, whatever.
Yeah.
It certainly changes the flavor of the board, I think, versus some other communities that don't have that advantage, disadvantage, depending on how that plays out.
No, I think it does. And the board, I have to say, everyone that's on our board, they live in this community because they love her. For whatever reason, when Estelle came over from Ireland, she's here. And Mark, you know, came here for a purpose and he stayed here. So we all care about the community. But I do think those of us who have kind of lived and breathed our whole entire life here just have a little bit different perspective to offer. Not always saying it's, you know, okay, we're not always right. But I
different
think
is
we
different.
Have a bigger breadth of knowledge of the community, but then it's really helpful when we have others who are not necessarily, as you say, homegrown to help provide perspective.
Does it allow for greater efficiencies? Are you a better supervisor because this is your home stomping grounds than, let's say, if you were in Sonoma County?
You know, I'd like to think that it does, but I think also there's a chance that, you know, we tend to be a little myopic, is that the word? Where we already think we kind of know what's going on and we have the blinders on. So for the most part, I'd say yes. But at the same time, I know that there are things that I'm going to think I already know, you know, how it got to where it is and where it should go. And someone will come up and say, you know, give me a different, their take on it. And I go, okay, I can actually see where you're coming from. So most of the time, again, I think it's beneficial, but I do think there's the hazards of kind of just getting on the one-track mind and not necessarily seeing the bigger picture.
KINS, News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Virginia Bass.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. For years, the Eel River was the state's second largest source of steelhead and third largest of salmon. A UC Davis study estimates it once produced more than 1 million fish annually. This has been replaced by unpredictability. Last year saw a good salmon run, but some years it is very small. Several causes are cited, but all agree the Eel River ecosystem has been degraded. Now a task force of volunteers has come together to pinpoint the reasons and work to restore the watershed. The Eel River Task Force consists of public agencies, Indian tribes, conservation organizations, and others committed to establishing a scientific baseline of the causes of the decline and what might be done to reverse it. The members agree, no finger-pointing. A plan of solutions must fulfill legal responsibilities to protect endangered species while also respecting private property rights. It will be a big job, but a healthy Eel River is worthwhile for all Humboldt County. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. Virginia, as you take a look at some of the different things that do go on in our area, I suppose being local complicates things. and I'm projecting myself into the equation. Somebody who's been a lifelong buddy is doing a fundraiser. Okay, now you're doing the fundraiser, even though you probably wouldn't, or you've got a conflict that's more job-based, but you've got that existing relationship. So to draw the clarity of the lines and the boundaries, and come on, I remember you used to always stay up until 11 o'clock. Come into this meeting, it goes until 9, it's no big deal for you. Okay, a little too much knowledge perhaps could make things challenging. You had shared that you were on the jury selection process.
Yes, I did.
And I'm stunned that they didn't kick you like in a nanosecond as soon as your name pops. No, better use of her time.
I was going to say, should I be? Do I look like I'm a?
No. I mean, I would think the supervisors, I would think the judges, I would think that any elected, unless it was a part-time position, wouldn't even be in the pool because there's a greater good for the community, not serving and doing whatever the primary job is.
You know, it's interesting because a lot of people said that. You mean you got through you went through 2 days of selection, and Supervisor Smith, Jimmy, used to serve on jury duty frequently, or when he ever got called, I can't say frequently, and I thought the same thing. And this time I thought, you know, it was a 3-week potential trial, but I had my mornings clear, and I think the fact that it is in the mornings makes it easier for somebody like me to do it. It did complicate last week, I can say, when I was in jury duty, and then everything that you'd normally be doing in the morning, you have to put into the afternoon, and there's still the evening meetings. And so by the time Wednesday, when I was not, you know, wasn't called up anymore because they seated the group they needed, it was like, all right, now I can catch up. Doing that for 3 weeks would have been tough, but my thought is, if I get a summons, I'm going to go. If I'm not out of town, I'm more than happy to, you know, go through the process. And if they feel that I'd be a good juror, I'm good with that. And then you get released for 2 years.
But does the community benefit more from having that backup, and maybe some things don't get addressed, or they don't get addressed as timely, and then you lose, greater community loses there? Because I would suggest there are probably a fair number of folks who could be plugged into a jury box that aren't you. However, there's not too many that can plug in and step in and take care of
the work
supervisorial, and then the ripples to the others, and then through the support staff as they're shuffling. It just seems like it's more counterproductive.
Yeah, I would think a 2-day trial would be one thing. 3 weeks was going to be stretching it. So I think for a few days, and which most trials are. But when you've got those longer ones, I mean, we've had trials that have gone a year. And I can't imagine doing the work because it's not like we have somebody else to do it for us. So someone else who works.
Nor would you want someone else do a lot of it.
Yeah, you can't just step in and take over a project one of us is doing. I mean, everybody is involved in so many different projects, and we have so many balls up in the air that it would be a real likelihood that something would end up, one of those balls would get dropped, and that would be a problem. So, you know, I was glad to go through the process, kind of relieved when I was able to get back in the office. And next time, hopefully it's only a short trial and then I'll feel a little less pressure. But it was really interesting listening to the process, and I haven't gone through it in a while. And I have to say the judges are they make sure that the message gets across on what they're, you know, what they need from a jury. And it was, I thought it was a really interesting couple of mornings, excuse me.
I would suggest you could probably pop into the courtroom sometime.
Yeah, not as frequently.
Or in the hall and
yeah.
just listen, you know, for, yeah. yeah, it's, I mean, I understand the need, I understand the desire, I understand that, you know, if I, heaven forbid, ever got in a situation where I was accused of something, my peers, it's going to be tough for people to find my peers. And but that's what I would want.
Right.
Find business operators.
And you, that's
oh,
why
well, they're not
they're
not available for a jury. Well, you know, and you start getting into that kind of scenario if you take it literally. So it just is interesting how, from the outside looking in, it's what you folks deal with, the various time pressures.
Yeah, it's I think they just call an amazingly large number of people just to sit one jury. You know, if you think the 90 people of us were in that room and they ended up with the 12 plus the two alternates. That's a lot to have to pick through. But it was interesting.
KINS, news and information time. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Virginia Grass.
Decade of Difference presents a brand new competition, Innovate, a business challenge opportunity to pitch your creative idea. First step, upload a 60 to 90 second elevator pitch highlighting your business venture idea by March 29th. 40 finalists will be selected to move on to phase two. But don't wait. First 100 entries receive a free iTunes gift card. To upload your video and get more information, visit decadeofdifference.org. A grand prize of up to $2,500 will be awarded. Don't wait. Innovate.
Good afternoon, KINS, news and information time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. Virginia, considering some of the different challenges that are going on as a supervisor and as being local, there are still places that you have personal interest in. Does having the title get in the way of being Virginia the volunteer, Virginia the gal who wants to help out? Not because you're dragging a title with you and that it's kind of, it helps the cause to have blank supervisor, but rather Virginia Bass blank.
Yeah, you know, it does. I think it intimidates people, and they'll see us at something, you know, an event where we're more of a volunteer. I go to a lot of events where I'm more comfortable serving. You know, gee, I wonder why. Or, you know, celebrity bartending or whatever the occasion is. But there are some people that still are, I think makes them a little less comfortable. And then there's other times where, you know, we'll do something just as a, you know, something we want to support individually. And, you know, next thing you know, it almost becomes something political when it's not meant to be there, but it's really hard because people associate the title with the name. And then there's other people, actually, there's a lot of people, it amazes me that they have no interest in whether you're a supervisor. They think, well, what do you supervise? It's like, all right, so those are actually, that's actually the
refreshing.
Best. Because nobody, you know, when someone doesn't immediately go to that connection, it's kind of nice because then I am a volunteer, or then I am just, I'm a person who's there. And it's, I'm sure it could be to the benefit every once in a while, but on the whole, especially like with Rex, he probably has a much bigger experience in that because he's been such a outstanding Uber volunteer for everything that
nobody ever really knew what he was doing for a job. Because he's always around doing that kind of stuff.
When he still does it, he's everywhere. I think there's a twin that just nobody's really figured out yet.
Oh, that's frightening.
That is
itself, isn't it? Is this good Rex or evil Rex?
We could start a rumor.
We'll just see if it gets any traction.
We'll see if Rex hears about it, we'll let you know. So, and you were mentioning, you're disappointed, I forgot to tell you about, I didn't key in. One of the programs I'm really interested in right now is this thing called Animeals. And there was a Mayors for Meals event where different electeds went out on the meal with the Meals on Wheels delivery folks. And when I was out, I had this terrific driver named Sandy Hazel. She was wonderful. But I learned that there's a lot of seniors that get animal food through this program also. And I learned also...
For their pets.
Thank you. You know, you're always really good at... Oh, goodness. Anyway, I thought that was great. And then I found out that the funding for the program has gone away, which made me, you know, I felt really badly because I know my animals are like family. And I met these seniors' animals, they would actually take me back in the little back room and introduce me to Casey the cat, you know, and this is their family. And the thought of them having to get rid of them really just didn't sit well with me. So that's one of the occasions where we decided, you know, I called the next day and found out who's running the program, which is actually goes through Bless the Beasts, There's just two people actually doing it. But I said, you know, my husband and I want to support this program at least through May so we can try to help figure out a way to make this keep happening for the seniors. And so they put a nice note in saying that the program had been extended. And that's one of the situations where I was really trying to say, you know, it's my husband, Matthew, and myself trying to separate it. It's hard. But I'll tell you, I just got the calls were just amazing. People, tearful thank you calls. And so it made my husband and I really believe that this program needs to be saved. So that's something individually I'm working on that, I did want to give a little bit of press to. And, you know, we're looking for, you know, whether it's working with stores that could help supply at a reduced cost, perhaps some more volunteers. We're not sure what this looks like. All I know is we've paid to extend the amount of time, so no one's going to lose this program. And perhaps we can find a way to make it better and certainly find a way to make it extend. It comes about $10,000 a year, which is seriously for this community. This is such a giving community.
That's doable.
That's doable. So we're just trying to find the way to pull together. And but I'll tell you, I learned so much that day doing the Meals on Wheels deliveries, not just what the Senior Resource Center does, but also what an impact it has on the folks. So thanks for letting me share that.
So with this, if folks are interested and you get enough phone calls as it is.
No, but this would be a phone call. I'd really
I think this would be a good one. But where can people go if they're wanting to get some more information about the concept or just send checks? I mean, how do you activate them?
I would suggest people can email me from the county website or call the 476-2394 number. That's mine. And I can provide more information. Checks can be made out to Bless the Beasts is how we're doing this right now. And I know that through Wells Fargo, where Matthew works, they've got a program that's great. So there's checks being sent in and, specify that you'd like it for the Anna Meals. And in the meantime, what I'd like to do is be able to find a way to not have to go through the continual fundraising process, but find the mechanism to actually fund it, on a yearly basis. But that part of it is also, if someone's listening and they have a pet food, company, a local feed store, any opportunity at all to help defray the costs, to contact me as well, and I will help. We're going to try to figure out how we can put this together and make it work.
Another thing I know that you guys are involved with is Betty Chin's efforts in the area. It's now becoming a little bit more formalized. There seems to be a lot of awareness now, which I guess you got to have the awareness before you have the momentum. But both are kind of seeming to chug along on this one.
Yeah, it's amazing to see how this process has worked, and especially 12 years, my experience with the city, things have come so far, and Betty, she's our local rock star. I don't think there's any doubt that...
I didn't even go the country, so she was sharing a little bit of the story about going to China.
Yeah, that was amazing.
The check off to reality versus what we know is just a little too big of a bridge for me to figure that one out comfortably.
Yeah, it's. But right here at home, and I think what we all know about Betty is she could be at some huge award ceremony wearing a Vera Wang gown, but to her, she'd rather be home helping the people who she cares about on a daily basis. And so on May 11th.
What gown? Hmm? What kind of gown?
Vera Wang. She got a Vera Wang. Now, do you know what that is?
That's why I'm asking. Apparently,
it's a designer.
I should, huh?
Okay. I don't see you in a Vera Wang. So moving on, she had a great time when she was there, and we got to see her award presentation, and it was like she was at the Academy Awards. But yes, for this event on May 11th, not quite the Academy Awards, but it is a chance to have an evening with Betty to help raise some more awareness and funds for the center. And it's going to be at St. Bernard's High School gym. And of course, Betty's going to share some of her, some of her life and her story, but also what she plans to do. And it's basically considered the kickoff dinner, $20 a person, and there are celebrity bartenders. Speaking of that earlier.
Does that mean loose pouring or... We just are trying to see the coordination. Can you pop open a bottle top.
Something tells me the margaritas will be pre-mixed, no blending involved, or one of those machines, I guess. And the beer and wine, I think it's more of the coordination and so
we can applaud when it's done effortlessly, and we can hoot and holler when something isn't quite right.
And
well,
actually, it will be fun, and it gives us an opportunity. And I know they've called me, and I believe they have the rest of the supervisors on board to do a shift. And I'm sure we'll have an extra big tip jar out there that won't be going to us, but it'll help the charity. Doors open at 6:00. Should be a lot of fun. You can buy a table also, but tickets can be purchased at Picky 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 or Booklegger, or you can also call myself or Rex Bone, and I'm sure that we can point you in the right direction to get a table.
There's lots of folks. And you can also call out here.
Yeah. So you're going to be there too?
I believe so. So I
are
will
you
probably
a celebrity bartender?
I'm not a celebrity anything.
You're the mover of mountains, aren't you?
Yeah, fine. But it's intriguing to me how, as you were talking about celebrity and what this thing is, I had occasion, a couple of folks were trying to use that card on me, and it's like, we know where to go to get stuff.
And if that's celebrity, channels that help.
If that's celebrity, that's great. But no, I'm the guy that's, buying the bread and, giving you a hard time in the grocery store and just regular stuff.
And it's different. If someone hears your voice, that clicks more into the, celebrity because they recognize you. They don't necessarily...
No. The fan club is not big. Let's just leave it there, okay?
I recognize you. You walk down the street and it's like, oh.
Yeah. Quick, duck.
No, I always try to honk when I go by.
There you go. And I appreciate the lack of swerving also. KINS, News and Information Time.
Didn't notice.
It's 3. Now I'm in trouble. It's 3:46. We'll be back for more from Virginia Bass.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. Now we got about 30 seconds to go on this one. Virginia, if folks are looking for any follow-up information, they can just give you a call at the office about the Animals or about Betty's event coming up in May.
Yeah, certainly 476-2394. And also, one quick note, the parade's coming up this weekend, the big roadie parade. Not quite the Pasadena Rose Parade, but it's our parade. And that's on Saturday. Friday night, the Roadie Roundup is a benefit dance and dinner for Backpack for Kids. And Sunday morning is the annual Pancake Breakfast Henderson Center Kiwanis at the Moose Lodge at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I'll be serving there as well.
Celebrity waiter, waitress, bartender. She's just a celebrity all around. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks. It's been fun.
Talking shop with Virginia Bass. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.